Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Love the 80s? Then you'll love Virgin Radio 80s Plus.
Love Chris Evans. Love the 80s.
Over on Virgin Radio
80s Plus.
If you want a superstar actor who's been a household name since the 70s and or someone to rid your house of ghosties, who are you going to call? Our next guest stars in Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which hits cinemas today. So please welcome a man who's been on quite a journey. It's Ernie Hudson.
Good morning, Ernie.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Oh, what a morning.
Welcome to the top of the tower. Here we are. An actual Ghostbuster. I'm thrilled. I'm on my knees, fast.
Yeah, I'm on my knees. I'm joining you. Also on my knees, Ernie.
Yeah. Ernie, how's it been this time around?
Well, you know, with you on your knees, this is kind of special this time around. No, it's been it's a wonderful time, and I'm very excited and happy.
Okay, so when was the first time you ever heard the phrase Ghostbusters?
First time I ever heard Ghostbusters, I was on an elevator with Ivan Reitman, the producer of all the films, and he directed the first two. I was on an elevator. I did a movie a year before called Space Hunter with Peter Strauss and Molly Ringwald, and he produced that movie.
Right.
But I was on an elevator, and it was a long ride down, and he said, I'm doing this movie called Ghostbusters, but there's nothing in it for you. And that was how he started out. And I was like, oh, okay, thanks. And then later on, I found out that there was a part that he thought I was all wrong for. But eventually, I got the audition and won the part.
Right. I've never heard you tell that story before. There's so much there. This is the whole interview just there. So I was going to say, stupidly, not very wittily, and quite predictably, oh, so it was the ultimate elevator pitch.
It was, yeah.
But it wasn't, though, was it? It was the non-pitch
It was a non-pitch. So don't even ask, you know. And he said, it's with Billy and Danny. I had to know who that was. And I'm like, well, okay. Well, good luck with that. And
do you think he was sort of stringing you along? Do you think he was planting a seed there? Do you think that was just really clever negotiation?
Ivan wasn't the kind of guy who was stringing you along. No, he kind of meant it. But the character I played in Space Hunter was bigger than life. My head was shaved. It was in a lower voice.
Okay.
And he was kind of dominating. It was on another planet. It was one of those space things. And the character Winston in Ghostbusters is just the opposite. He's a guy who sort of works with the team.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was able to separate the two. I'm an actor, so that was a role. And
so who flicked the switch then? Who made the call, do you think?
Eventually, after they saw everyone I knew in town, I mean, everybody, then they thought, well, maybe let's let Ernie come in.
That's
and
so funny.
I read the script and I thought, okay, I'm getting this role.
That's so funny. What a great story. So so when you walked in, was Ivan there?
Yeah, he was there.
And ha-ha!
Yeah, he was there and very skeptical, sitting back, you know, let's see what you got. And I did the thing that actors do. Sometimes you go in and when it all comes together and I just nailed it, I knew I just...
What did you do? What was the audition like?
It was reading, you know, just reading different scenes with Harold Ramis was in the room, but I was so good. You know, when you just know, I'm good.
You're in the slot.
You know what I mean? I wanted to take the script and throw it on the floor like
a mic drop.
Yeah, like a, you know. And then I went home. I expected I'm going to get the call any minute. And then I didn't get the call any minute. So it took about 5 auditions. I was 3 screen tests. It was almost like they felt I was right for the part, but they were really hoping they could find somebody else, anybody else but Ernie. And then finally, I won the part. So.
Right. So this is it a 40th celebration, this film? Was it always, is that what it is? Or it just happens to come out 40 years on from the first one? Or how does it feel? Has it been framed? What's the flavor of the press tour? What is everybody feeling?
Yeah, the feeling is very different. I mean, it's almost like stepping back into a postcard. We did this. It came out in 84. But what's the difference is the fans have embraced this movie in a way like no other movie I've ever done. I mean, they even when there was no Ghostbusters out, people were still
ghostbusting,
building their backpacks, turning their cars into ectomobiles. It's just it's just astonishing to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big classic car fan, and we have a festival called Car Fest for charity, and it raises all this money. And there's always a Ghostbuster car there, you know, and they're around the ambulances.
Yeah,
there's a very famous collection in Los Angeles, the Peterson collection.
Yes,
and there's one down in the basement there as well. Have you been there?
I have been there. Yeah, no, I've seen, and yet people who can't afford the Cadillac, I've seen Volkswagen ectomobiles. I mean, they've, you know, all kinds of, they take the lights and they turn it into their,
and it's a cool car. I mean, you know, I think my favorite sort of memorabilia car would be the Starsky and Hutch car.
It's great.
But this is pretty close, and it's the opposite, I suppose, because the Starsky and Hutch car has it's a red car with a white stripe. This is a white ambulance with a red stripe, isn't it?
Right
on the side.
Is
there an original one? Have there been many? Do you have one at home? Or?
No, I thought about buying one, but I was in Arizona and went to dinner with some people, and the wife, when the husband went to the restroom, said, please talk to him, because he took our car and he bought a Cadillac and turned it into an ectomobile, and it's the only car we have. Brilliant. And when I go to the store, people want to take pictures in the kits. It's like, so people... People love the car, and but I've never, only one have I ever seen that actually runs well, because it's that Cadillac model.
They rarely do.
Awful.
They rarely do. All right. So so Ghostbusters filmed in 81, 82-ish originally?
We filmed it in 83.
83
came out
okay.
in 84.
84, all right.
Yeah, and the second one, 80 came out in 80. Whatever, 5 years later,
you know,
89.
I think now we're in, there's lots of golden ages, aren't there? You know, you can always harp on about our, you know, your generation's golden age. But the 80s were special. They're for movies.
I think so.
They were so special.
Yeah.
Because they made these movies, you know, you could reel them all off, that were funny, but they weren't comedies.
Yes.
You know, like your Beverly Hills Cop and your 48 Hours, your Pretty Woman and Romancing the Stone and and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. All those, I mean, just talking about them gives me hairs and the, you know, goosebumps.
Yes.
And, what was it about the 80s? What was going on? You know, what was in the water then?
I think we were really trying to make movies that would last. I mean, we thought of movies as works of art. I mean, we really wanted to connect with the fans. Now I think it's such a demand for content that they just throw some people together and get a story and just turning it out, but it doesn't have the heart.
It doesn't have the filmmaker
wanting to bring something special that'll last.
Yeah.
And I don't think they worry about it lasting. They just move on to the next thing.
Yeah, and what's interesting about those kind of movies, the 80s movies, late 70s as well, is that they seem frothy and frivolous, and they sort of take you by surprise with the heart.
Yes.
The heart comes in, and you suddenly, you know, 45 minutes into this movie on a Saturday afternoon, you're in love with these people, and you're really sort of cheering for them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And as silly as Ghostbusters is, you even feel like that about Ghostbusters.
I think so, too. I think it's why it's lasted. The humanity is there. The story,
camaraderie.
We get to know the people, and I think people connect to it in a way that makes it personal, and they relate it to their lives. You know, so I love the 80s movies, and Ghostbusters is really about a team of guys trying to come together to defeat this threat to the world.
You are a Ghostbuster. It's like having a Beatle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a cinematic equivalent of having a Beatle, which we've had, thank God. But we've got a Ghostbuster. We're so excited, man. We're so excited. And for this movie, you are back in New York, which is very important,
isn't it? Yeah, New York is, I think, the center, you know, the throb of, you know, the Ghostbuster epicenter.
The energy.
So we're back. The last movie sort of reacquainted us with Ghostbusters, but this movie is really Ghostbusters in action. And it's a really exciting movie, I think. I feel very, very good about
it. Yeah, it's out today. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire in cinemas today. Everyone's talking about it. I watched loads of your interviews in America as well, just to get ready for the interview, because it got me so excited about meeting you. And you were on Jimmy Fallon, and you told this... What's the great story? It's a lovely story about... This late, what happens to you when you're famous, when you're a Ghostbuster? Sometimes somebody comes up to you in the street and asks you to walk them down the aisle that day. And then because of their obvious allegiance, because of something they have on their body to the Ghostbusters franchise, you end up saying yes?
Yeah. No, she came in and said, "We're getting married this afternoon. Will you give me away?"
Mm.
And I'm like, "That's quite an honor, but I don't know you."
Yeah.
And she said, "You do know me. You signed my ankle." And I said, "What?" And I apparently at some convention signed my name on her ankle.
Yep.
And she had it permanently tattooed.
Yeah.
And if someone has your name tattooed on them, how do you not
give
them
away? Married.
Margot Kidder was at that same convention, and we both participated in the wedding. I told that story on TV last week,
yeah. And
this lady reached out to me saying she's the one, and they're still married. She was happily married, and so good things work out.
And how are the conventions? Because if people don't know, excuse me, there are Comic Cons. There's a big one here this weekend, a big Doctor Who one.
Ah.
For people who've never been to these things, they are phenomenal, aren't they?
They're phenomenal. You know, I've gone to ones where there are thousands and thousands of people. I only heard of one incident of any kind of violence. You know what I mean? Only one, and that was nothing really major. But people who love the movies, who show up.
They dress up
and meet each other, and it's just a wonderful
community
of people.
And it freaks some people out, but it's harmless fun, and I think it's cool. A friend of mine who's a butcher is a big Comic Con fan, and he'll go to Doctor Who or Doctor Who or Star Wars. I haven't talked about Ghostbusters because I didn't see him this week, but he loves it, and he's a lovely bloke, you know.
Yeah.
And why the heck not? Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, they travel from all over the world. They and it's meeting people of like mind, and it's positive, which I love about it. Anything we can share together and have a good time, it's wonderful.
I'm with you all the way. When did you get the call this time around for this movie?
We did it had been a period of time between the Ghostbusters and the last movie we did. They came out, and I'm going blank on the name. That's what happened at my age. Suddenly, I don't remember. But the last movie got a call, and we hadn't been together for a long time. And when I got on the set, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd in the jumpsuits, it was almost emotional. Because it's been so long. But this movie that's coming out now, Frozen Empire, I was really impressed with the new cast.
Was it a couple of years ago, four or five years ago?
Did
you ever think it would happen again?
I had kind of given up, you know. I knew the fans wanted it. I know the fans have been really supportive. But I had kind of thought, well, maybe it won't happen, and that's okay.
Well, it has happened.
Yeah, but the fans did not waver. They stayed committed.
And it's, you know, we know how important opening weekends are to movies. You know, they can kill a film. But because you have such a fan base, you know, you have a sort of head start on most opening weekends. So why wouldn't you do it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. And I think it's, you know, sometimes they pick up these titles and you know it's something the studio wants because they want to make money. And so they got a title and they'll throw it out there. But this is something the fans have sort of demanded.
Yeah.
And you want to be a part of that because you want to make a movie that you don't disappoint them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very important to me. And I think everybody in the movie, we really wanted it to be something that the fans would embrace, and I think it does that.
Yeah, well, Tilly went to see us today, and she's given us chapter and verse on it, and she says it's really moved with the times, which of course it had to, because now with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know, audience expectations, even as loyal as fans as they would be, you've still got to deliver, and apparently it really delivers, and it's properly scary in parts.
Yeah, I think it's a Ghostbuster movie, and I think it does deliver. And like I said, I really feel very, very good. And also, you know, this is 40 years later. We're not playing to the same audience that we played to. The world has changed in so many
ways.
You're
the Rolling Stones, man.
You know, so you have to embrace a change.
Yeah.
But still happy to be still rocking it.
Okay, so the thrust of it is there is a Dr. Evil character, and he wants to freeze everything. And your character has been away sort of in the laboratory figuring new ways of ghost busting, because this time around it's in the trailer, I'm allowed to say this, I must be, it's all the ghosts, isn't it?
All the ghosts,
you're having all the ghosts that you've ever busted in the past, they're coming back
to find you, we have some issues, but there's one dominant ghost that is so formidable that it almost seems impossible to defeat. Over the past 40 years, my character, who came in looking for a job, is now gone on to become a billionaire. He runs a Zetamore Industries. But part of what he does is manage this little Ghostbuster thing that costs him money. But he sort of funds this and puts this new team together and to kind of hand things over.
Yeah, yeah.
But this new threat is so ominous and so threatening that we have to, the only way we can defeat it is to come together.
Come on! And it's not so much passing the baton, it's you know, it's passing all the tools on, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And there's a new family, and there's a family, and there's the kids in the family, there's maybe two potential future generations.
Yeah, the last movie, Afterlife, which I just thought of the name, Afterlife, it's Egon Spengler, who was Harold Ramis played in it's his family who really, the daughter didn't know her father very well. And so they sort of discover the Ghostbusters and what he did in that last movie. Now, my loyalty to him and the other Ghostbusters who gave me a job when I most needed it, I found this family and I brought them to New York, and because I expect they will take over the franchise and move things into the future,
right,
which they're quite capable until this new threat, and it's going to take everybody.
My gosh. Tilly came and she gave it a 10. She gave it 10. She doesn't give out many 10s.
No,
it's a full-on 10.
It's, and you know, I think all the fans who've seen the movie, they're so excited about it. Now, reviewers, we'll see what they have to say because they don't always appreciate the Ghostbuster kind of movies. But I promise, if you're a fan of Ghostbusters, even if you haven't seen the movie, you'll like this movie.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, we've been lucky enough over the years to have some pretty big hitters sitting in chairs opposite us on this show, right? But we've never, ever, 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 ever had an actor with a filmography that comes close to yours.
This is, I mean, Ernie, this is unbelievable. So this is just a list of the films
you've been in since
Lead Belly in 1976. I mean, if I started reading them out, we'd be well into Ryan's show. He comes on air at 10 a.m. in more than an hour and a half. But here's the thing. Ernie Hudson, what do you think? I mean, more than one film most years you've had come out.
Yeah.
But what do you think links the years 1994, 2012 and 2016 in your career?
Oh, wow. I don't know.
In those 3 years, most years, two films, three films, four films. In those 3 years, you personally starred in six films.
That's just rude. Wow, that's just rude.
Well, because you never had an actor on your show who needed a job as much as I did. I got to work. I got kids. So, you know.
How many? Jeez. You've been in all the films, man. This is so impressive. In 1964, you were how old?
In 64, I was 18.
18.
18.
So people say, you know, this is a great question. If you could go back at any point in time, where would you go? And I was born in 66. So I was born, I can sort of remember hearing the radio in 68, 69 with a Beatles song, Obladi Oblada, sort of, which was a Marmalade song, but Beatles did it.
Yeah.
I think I can remember being alive in the 60s. But I wouldn't go back to, you know, the resurrection or the fall or the rise of the Roman Empire. I would just go back a couple of years before I was born. I'd want to be an 18-year-old in 1964. What was it like?
It was a great time. You know, 64 for me was getting out of high school. My sons were born in the 60s. You're right about my son's age. And it was just, the world was. I think the dawning of the age of Aquarius and people were expecting this new future and out with the old, and now we're going to bring in the love and here we are. You know, I mean, somehow the hope and the optimism was so high. And we were well-intentioned, my generation.
No, well-intentioned. I mean, 62, 63, 64. I mean, 67 and Vietnam and all that. It started to go very pear-shaped. War on drugs, Nixon, blah, blah.
You know, and civil rights. I mean, that changed. I mean, the world, how we see ourselves, it was a time of just optimism and change and hope. And yet, you know, so much was going on, the assassinations.
Totally. You know, 100%. And then you had space travel and all that. And then you had the atomic bomb and all this kind of stuff. And what was the most 60s thing you did in the 60s?
Oh, geez.
That you can talk about.
Yeah. the most 60s thing.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. I, You know, for me, the most 60s things was because it was optimism. I got out of high school not sure what I would ever do. I realized that I'd screwed up high school. I didn't study very hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had no hope for any kind of future.
Yeah.
And I somehow found theater.
How did you do that? Come on, tell us about that.
I found theater in 66.
Where?
By accident, I went to see... I had an argument with my wife,
yeah.
And I was driving around because I didn't want to go home, and I saw these people line up in front of this building, and it was kind of weird, and so I parked the car and asked what was going on.
You
they were going
to
see
sure.
a play. I'd never seen a play, and I thought, as opposed to going home, I got in line, I sat in that theater, the curtain came up, and it was, I think it was called Papa's Daughter, and it was about a father, daughter got pregnant, the father disowned her, and in the end they came together, and I found when the lights went up, I was bawling in tears.
You were healed as well.
I was just, oh my God, that was so amazing.
Did you go back and make up?
You know, well, I made up, but I realized it took a lot more for that marriage than just seeing a play. But
I always think, save the drama for the stage.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that was when I discovered theater, and... the world opened up. I got involved
Where
in
theater.
Where
was that theater?
It was in Detroit. It was in Detroit.
Is it still around? Is it still standing?
Yeah, it actually is.
Goodness.
The Detroit Repertory Theater. The founder just passed recently, but I worked a lot there. I worked over. I just became immersed in theater.
And your first big break.
I'm waiting for it.
Shut up.
I'm waiting for
it. We're getting loads of texts and emails.
That's right. Yes.
What about this? OMG, loving the show. And Ernie, such a big fan. He's awesome. Glenn and Donington, Karen and Swindon. Have you seen Grace and Frankie? Hysterically funny series with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. Ernie was adorable as Jacob.
I love that show. I love Lily Tomlin, who played my girlfriend. They're just amazing
Lily
people.
Tomlin and Jane Fonda.
Yeah.
I'm going to work today. I'm going to see Jane and Lily again. What? How long did that last for?
I was on the show maybe 3 years.
All the fun, a lot of fun,
you know. But Lily's the one, I won't say age, but Lily's the one actress that I had so much fun playing my girlfriend that my wife loved. Normally when I do these scenes where I have, you know, my wife is like,
my
wife is kind of watching, you know. But with Lily, it was like, oh, tell Lily hello. She loved
Lily. I love her. There's a story today about Chester Zoo, right? Chester's a place in the northwest of England, in Manchester, not Manchester, it's the hub. It's about snow leopards. So for the first time, Chester Zoo today has a pair of snow leopards, which is cool.
Yeah.
As long as they've been treated right, it's cool. But the point of the story is the head of Chester Zoo is called Michael Jordan. Now, you've worked with actual Michael Jordan, not our Michael Jordan, but another Michael Jordan.
I did a story based on his life. I played his dad, and Debbie Allen played the mother. And Robin Givens played his wife. But it was a few years back, but and got to meet him. Didn't really get to know him very well, but it was fun.
You have also basketballed yourself on screen against Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, Basketball Diaries, which was a really interesting...
You're a very good basketball player on film.
On film, yeah. They
Tell
gave
us
me
about
this...
that now.
Well, they gave me the part because I'm a 6-foot black man who... I think they assumed I played basketball.
Yep.
I am not in the sports.
Didn't check.
I don't know anything. And so when we got into rehearsal, Leonardo was just playing circles around me, and I couldn't keep up with him. But, of course, the movie had me as an ex-basketball player. I did get Chet Walker, Wilt Chamberlain, a bunch of ex-NBA players. They got together with me and tried to give me some quick pointers, which weren't quick enough. But I love that movie. Well, one of the movies I really enjoyed making the most.
You have had so much fun. What a lovely life. I'm sure you're very grateful for your career, aren't you?
I'm so thankful.
You seem like a really grateful person.
You know, I give thanks every day. I mean, my grandmother would say, just live a good life and be an example of what is possible.
Good for you, mate. What happens now, Ghostbuster wise? Is it a world tour? Is it out on the same day or across the world? I know it's out here today.
Yeah, no, it's all over the world. I think a couple of countries. I think France. It's a few weeks before it opens. A couple of countries, but it's out now. People can enjoy it, and now we'll see how the public feels about it. But if you like Ghostbusters, Definitely, I think, go see this movie. You'll enjoy it.
All right. Mark says here, when see Ghostbusters 1984, can't wait to go and see the new one 40 years later. Who would have thought, Mark? Absolutely. Nat says, woohoo, loving the fact that Ernie's on the show. Ghostbusters is my favourite film ever. I remember our whole school travelled on buses from Market Harborough to Leicester to watch Ghostbusters as a school trip. Best school day ever. Boom. Ernie, you have not disappointed. It's great to see you, man.
Oh, it's so nice to see you. I'm really enjoying spending some time with you guys. And, man, just love your energy. You just really, I feel your spirit, man.
We're having a go, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're having a go. It's our job to sing and to play and to share the show every day. That's what we do. Ernie, anything else you'd like to say to the world? Because this will all be on YouTube around the world.
Yeah.
What do you want to say?
No, just, let's... all we need is love. Let's just come together and enjoy this life. It's not forever. Yeah. When you get to be my age, you realize this is short time, and it's not enough time to be fighting. Let's come together.
Yeah, I love that. And it's funny, isn't it? Because when we're challenged by things, and as difficult as they are, the worst case scenario for me in anything is no matter what's happening, if something is happening to you and it might be terrible, at least it confirms that you're alive to experience it.
Absolutely.
That's the thing, isn't it?
That's the thing. And don't expect it to be easy. It's meant to have challenges. That's the fun of it. That's the living part of it.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
All life is suffering. There isn't... What is it? All life is suffering. All suffering is desire. There is an end to suffering, and there is a noble path to that end of suffering. And that's called getting up every day, starting being grateful, getting to the end of the day, trying to make everything that happens in front of you better because you were part of it. There you go.
Absolutely.
Great to meet you, Ernie.
So nice meeting
you. How cool is he?
Yeah, very.
Control room element force for the great Ernie Hudson!
Yay!
Yes! We did it! We did it! We had a Ghostbuster on the show! Come on!
Yeah!
Vassos, who and what's next?
They're the iconic British rockers who told you you're gorgeous on Top of the Pops and TFI and even during Saltburn. And now they're going to tell you in person as they're about to go on tour. Their UK tour kicks off in Liverpool in May. But first, let's tell you again this Friday morning with the still box fresh You're Gorgeous. It's Baby Bird!
Remember that tank top you bought me? You wrote your gorgeous on.
A bit of TFI going on, Jane, if you don't mind. It's 8:51, and that is Baby Bird live at the top of the tower. Baby Bird, Stephen Jones on vocals! Lee Scott on guitar! Danny Lowe also on guitar! Oh, my goodness me. How are you?
Good, very good.
We're still here, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Any day, every day above ground?
Yes.
Totally. We are winning. Steve, it's great to see you, man.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I think we did TFI 6-7 times, so
I did it a few more than that, but yeah.
Yeah, I know.
So, Baby Bird, let's have the origin story. Okay, so late 80s, early 90s, what was going on? What were you up to? When did you start recording?
Well, kind of early 90s, I was on the dole for about 4 or 5 years, and I was writing songs in my bedsit on a little 4-track tape recorder.
Beautiful.
And people would steal the tapes, and they would get handed around Sheffield, which is kind of where I was. Yeah. And then record companies got interested, and then these guys came along. Well, Danny actually came a lot. We had a bass player, another bass player, but Danny's been here quite a while.
Right.
Yeah, got together, and then we, the rest is... history.
Well, it's ongoing as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
So where was Your Gorgeous in the mix then?
Your Gorgeous was... These were all very, very small lo-fi recordings. Your Gorgeous... We had 5 albums out, like, before we signed to a record company. And Your Gorgeous was one of the 400 demos. I write a lot of stuff. So
what?
That never made it. It was a 30-second song, and no one liked it. And then it got reworked, and then it became a single on it, with a
How
record.
Can a song that becomes so successful... not land for a while.
It was very comic. The original demo was like a comedy song. It was all right. It's slightly
so it was your fault in the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so did somebody hear it? Another pair of ears said, like, we need to nuance this. There's something here.
Yeah, I think it's one of those songs. It's two parts. I think that it's quite a subversive song, really. Misunderstood, I think, like Born to Run and whatever. So it's, but the chorus is something people want sung to them, even though it's slightly sarcastic.
Yeah. Got
but
it.
The verses are quite have a depth to them, and it's you probably know the story, but it's like flipping the whole thing around. What in the 70s in car magazines you'd have a woman splayed across Ford Capri, and the man would be taking the pictures. So I'd try to flip it round. So what would that male photographer feel like if he was in a bikini?
Yeah, it's pretty abstract. It's cars and girls. It's all that kind of stuff.
That's the premise.
All that stuff. It's all very sort of Paul Heaton, isn't it, I suppose. Yeah. And so can you tell people, though, when you write a song like You're Gorgeous, and by the way, I didn't realise you had five albums out before that, one way or another.
Yeah, very small. They were very small, but
you still did it, though, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all the songs.
Yeah, that's what makes me feel better about You're Gorgeous sometimes, because sometimes people go for You're Gorgeous, they won't know Baby Bird, but we had an underground start, so it kind of feels like...
But when you write a song like that, I mean, what can that one song give you? I mean, you know, what kind of doors does that open, not only around at the time on Top of the Pops and TFI Friday and things like that, but also, you know, for the next, what is it? It's nearly 30 years now, isn't it? 28 years, something like that.
28 years, yeah.
So what can it do? For people listening, basically, write a song, everyone. Give yourself a go. It's a lullaby.
I mean, you advice I would give to someone.
No. What can it do for you? Where is that song taken you as an artist?
Oh, just everywhere. I mean, financially, it means I can go and do what I want to do.
Right.
I'm not constricted. It's a song everyone knows. You know, you sit in a cab and you can say, "What do you do?" I've wrote this song. Of course, people know.
Starts
a conversation.
But, it really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Saltburn, of course, it's got... So tell me about the Saltburn, Your Gorgeous story.
Yeah, just a complete... I had no idea, really, that they were after that song. We were just asked, could we use it? And it just made it on there. I don't really know how.
When did you see the film?
I saw it a couple of months ago.
What did you think?
Well, genuinely.
Well, I'll tell you what I thought was amazing.
Yes, I think I was a bit tense, to be diplomatic. No, I did.
But you
were
waiting for your song to come. You think,
no, I loved it.
Which scene is he going to play my song in? Oh, my God.
No, I'll tell you. The problem was that I went with my wife and we were waiting for the song.
Yeah, of course.
So you were on tenterhooks. So
we weren't waiting for our hit, were we,
Vassos?
Yeah, no.
Were you happy with where it was in the movie?
Yeah, it seemed to be played for quite a while, so it was a long clip, so yeah, of course.
All right, so listen, you're going out on tour. See tickets, that's not C as in the number. The letter, it's C as in SWE, ctickets.com/tour/babybird. May in Liverpool, kicks off in Liverpool May 22nd, and it goes all the way to Manchester, Leeds, Bristol, Brighton, Margate and London. I've never been to one. What is a Baby Bird gig like?
It's a lot of talking from me in between, so right. I'd say it's half comedy show. Well, you'd have to ask these two if it's funny.
They're not laughing at the moment, no. But it's quite early in the morning.
No, I think I'm a pain in the butt. Yeah. No, I think it's just very stripped down. I love the Sex Pistols sound, so we try and go for that. So if you can that clinical, amazing sound, so
brilliant.
We try and do that.
Okay, and I didn't realise you had 9 top 40 hits all in all. Wow, you came on TFI, You're Gorgeous, Candy Girl, Top of the Pops, lots of that going on. Other 90s highlights, what was it like? Will's here from TFI Friday. Will's here, everybody. Woo! You and he are mates.
We are, yeah, we became friends through not through the show, I don't think.
Thank God, otherwise, that's NFI over here. NFI Friday. So, what happened? How did you get together?
I think it was through kids, wasn't it?
Kids, yeah.
Yeah, kids at the similar schools in Hampstead.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. He's a good lad, isn't he?
How come
he looks younger now than he did then?
No, it makes you sick, doesn't it?
And I don't. I'm not going to say anything about you. I can only speak for myself here. Yeah. That's not fair.
Well, I was with him on Wednesday and I couldn't work out if he dyes his hair or not.
Do you not dye
your hair? Okay.
He's too tight to dye his hair. Hey! All right. So what are you going to play for us next?
If You'll Be Mine.
All right, If You'll Be Mine from the album, There's Something Going On. They performed this track on Top of the Pops in August 1998. You're listening to Baby Bird live on the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show. Thank you very much indeed.
If you'll be
mine, I'll be yours. If you'll be mine, I'll be yours.
Yes! Yeah! That's awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah. What's it like to have a hit in Iceland?
I didn't know we had.
Yeah. You got to number two in Iceland.
Oh, cool.
So you're not going minus a PR tour, no tour required.
Oh, I love Iceland. I've been to Iceland, lots too. Of times. Yeah.
It's gorgeous. All right. Great to see you. That was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for being here. Will, thank you for bringing them.
Pleasure.
Will actually booked you on the show.
I know. We wouldn't have got on him if it wasn't
No, of course
Will,
you would. You're definitely always welcome on the show. Literally always
great,
welcome guy. On the show.
Yeah, cool.
Great to see you again. I wonder if we're going to be here in another 28 years. all right, fantastic. SeaTickets.com/tour/babybird. One more time, please, if you don't mind. Baby Bird!
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Love music? Love interviews with lovely musicians? Search Virgin Radio UK on YouTube to find brilliant album specials with some of the shiniest lights on our playlist, including George Ezra.
This is going to be something I'll remember, and that's a really lovely thing. I don't think I was able to do that in the past.
And James Bay. Come on, let
it go. Don't you agree that everybody needs someone when they feel alone?
Watch all that and more at youtube.com/Virgin Radio UK.
Well, they just keep on coming. Vassis, over to you.
Our next guest has woken us up, helped us home, kickstarted our weekends, even taught us about food. He now hosts a new reality series, The Underdog, Josh Must Win, which begins on Monday at 9 on Channel 4. And as always, it's a great big tick for Nick Grimshaw.
All right, Grimmy.
Come on in.
Wow, it really feels like Friday in here.
I know.
Going from bed to this energy is a real wow. Well, I need it every Friday.
We're always here for you, Nick.
Need it every Friday.
Well, Will's in from TFI Friday. We had Baby Bird, who were on TFI Friday. We've had a Ghostbuster in. And now we've got you, Nick. Now we've got Grimmy.
And now we've got me. I just saw Will.
Yeah.
Love Will.
He's cool, isn't he?
Yeah.
How well do you know Will?
Not that well. I know Will a little bit. We did a TV show together back in the day.
Which did you do?
It was called Sound. Me and Annie Mac.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we did that.
You're back together, aren't you?
We are back together doing a podcast.
Is that
together.
How it all began then?
Me and Annie, not Will.
Is it down to Will?
Not down to Will.
Because he'll claim credit for
it. Well, he was an early enabler
of
me and Annie Mac.
His public facing persona is, you know, this shrinking violin in the background. Actually, he's a complete megalomaniac.
Yeah. I've not seen him for a really long time. Last time I saw him was like 2015.
Yeah.
When the TFI did the comeback.
Yeah.
And we went to the pub and did a plan.
It's the most fun.
Plan.
It was the most fun. Grimmy, talking about TV. All right. The Underdog, Josh Must Win, starts Monday, this Monday coming, 9 p.m. on E4. You can catch up on Channel 4. This show's amazing, man.
It's
two shows in one. We'll talk about the format in a bit. Mm. It's either going to be a massive hit or you'll never hear of it again. This is sort of what you want.
Yeah, is it? Why do you want the latter?
Well, because you don't want to be caught in the middle.
Yeah, true, actually.
No, you either go
brilliant or no one watched it.
You go down in flames.
Yes.
It's the biggest hit in the world.
Okay.
I'm not interested in the... By the way, I think it's going to be the former.
Fingers crossed.
So it's called Josh Must Win, but there's another show going on within this show, which is the sort of... is the conceit of it all, called The Favourite. Anyhow, first of all, let's talk about the house. Where's the house? When can we go and live in the house?
The house is nuts. So we went and filmed the show in Essex.
Right.
So we went out there and we all decamped out there and went and moved there for like 2 weeks.
But where's it? It's like
an old army barracks has transformed into his... It's ginormous. Like, you know how big a TV set is, and they've got to build all the stuff
high
and the
ceilings.
Stage and the lighting and all the equipment.
Yeah.
It was sort of minuscule in his house. It was huge. So he lives in this sort of marble palace in Essex.
I think if you can get an old, but you love all this, don't you? I love all this as well. If you can get an old sort of industrial space and turn it into a modern living space, you have nailed it.
He's nailed it. And he lives in it on his own.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
Of course he does.
In this giant.
Why would you allow anybody else to live there?
No one. Just TV crews.
And it backs onto the water?
Yeah, right on the water.
What is it about?
It is really a nuts place. Yeah. I'm desperate to meet the man. I feel like if this show does bomb, the next show I want to do is who's that man and why does he live here?
Right. This show is phenomenal. It's really punchy. That's why I like it. It's a really punchy format. It's a punchy format to have come up with, and it's a really punchy format to have commissioned. I have a theory about how it was commissioned. I've shared it with the team before we came on the air at 6:15 this morning. I think it's based on a card trick.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you know that's true or not. Okay, there is a card trick that's similar to the whole format of this show, which we don't need to go into. That's just me.
Let's go into it. That's just me nerding off. Let's do it.
So there's you and there's three other sort of hosts. You're the main host, and your three sort of partners in crime are famous reality TV stars. Mm-hmm. And then there's this other show that is supposed to be the show called The Favourite. Over to you.
Yeah, so The Favourite is the show that all the contestants think that they've entered.
Right.
So it's 10 people going into a house and they all think that they're on this popularity show, kind of like Big Brother back in the day, one person's got to win, the end.
Yeah.
What they don't know is that that house is actually inside of a bigger house. Oh. And in that house is me and a panel of ex-reality show stars, or not ex even, the reality show stars who've won big shows.
They came to prominence via reality
Via reality, and they've won everything from, like, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, to Love Island.
And they're really good at it.
They are so good. So it's Pete Wicks.
Because there's a way to win these shows, and they know how to win
them. They know how to do it. So they're on to manipulate the game to make Josh win.
Sorry, go back to who you're co-presenting.
Yes, we have Pete Wicks, who is phenomenal on it, and so, so funny.
And he's been responsible for...
The Only Way is Essex, the SAS one, pretty much any reality show he's been on. Yeah. Vicky Patterson, who we'll know as the star of Geordie Shore, who went on to, throughout her 20s, getting wasted in Newcastle to become absolutely brilliant and win I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Right.
Also been on SAS, Who Dares Wins.
Yeah, she doesn't pull any punches because she doesn't know how to do that. She tells it like it is.
Dynamite.
Fearless.
She is brilliant.
Fearless.
And very, very funny. Yeah. And then we had Amber Gill on as well, who's the winner of Love Island, also done SAS. But they've all done it.
This is the one to do.
This is the one to do. Yep. And she is amazing as well and so funny because she is no nonsense and very sort of says it as it is.
Right.
And I really I'm not really bothered.
Right. So
you need that.
So what we have here is we have two situations with two sets of people. We have Nick and his three pals, and then we have the 10 contestants. And you are filmed almost in the same way and as much as they are, because you've got your own thing going on, because you've got to come across as one thing or another, because you are judging, aren't you?
Yes.
And we're all judging all the time anyway. Uh-huh. The viewers are judging. The faux contestants in The Favourite, the 10 contestants, are judging each other, and you're judging everything.
Mm.
So this is a parallel situation.
Yeah, it's like a parallel universe going on. So we are watching The Favourite go on, kind of like the Truman Show.
Yeah.
So we've got all these screens set up and we're watching the house.
Yeah.
Now, these 9 contestants who went in are like your sort of textbook people that would be on reality show. You know, they've got their
followers,
really good looking, big on Instagram, spray tans, turkey teeth, all of that going on.
And know it.
They know it.
Yeah.
And they know they're gorgeous.
They're in on the gag.
And then we have Josh as the 10th contestant.
Right.
Josh has entered this show as a bit of an experience, a bit of life experience. Right. And Josh is not the type of person that you'd expect to see on Love Island et al. The challenge for me and the other panelists is to make Josh, in that, you know, reality TV world, become the favourite and win. If he wins, everyone wins a share of the money. Josh doesn't know. The other contestants don't know. They think they're on The Favourite. They have no idea that me and these, you know,
really
reality show experts are actually controlling the game.
It could be too clever for its own good, but it's really not. And it could be too complicated for its own good, but it's not.
But it's not. That's because I'm on it.
No, but yeah. Well, also you bring a certain ease to it. The fact you're on it makes me feel like I'm allowed to watch it. To be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're the golden bridge between the generation beyond you and the generations before you.
Yes.
And when you reveal yourself to the contestants, they're genuinely like, "Wow, it's Nick Grimshaw! It's so cool, man."
Yeah, very funny. It was nuts going in.
Yeah.
So I had to do the double-edged sword of going to The Favourite
yeah.
and not mention the actual TV show. show at hand. So I had to go in and like talk to them and do the Davina bit and bring them out when they got evicted.
By the way, in TV circles, it's known as the Davina bit.
The Davina bit. Yeah. It's a technical term. I don't know if you're aware of it. And then we'd break the news to the contestants that you're not actually on The Favourite. You're on Josh Must Win. Right. And here's the aim of the game. So it was honestly one of the most fun shows. One of the most fun times I've ever had doing it. It was real riot doing it.
And you know what happens because it's been filmed.
Yes.
Oh, so many questions. Something you don't know, mm-hmm. right, is that Owen, who's in charge of our socials today, yes. and he's only in charge because Ben has gone to Paris with his girlfriend. He's taking his girlfriend to Paris.
Oh.
Yeah. No, well, here's the thing. No. We all said to Ben, you're taking your girlfriend to Paris. Whoa. And we all did what you just did. And Ben went, yeah, and what?
What's
and?
Wrong with that? She's French.
Yeah, no. He doesn't know what it might mean. So we had to tell him. He went, you're joking. So no, you've got to really start managing expectations here now. He nearly cancelled the trip.
The train.
Yeah. Anyway, so Owen is in charge of the socials. Uh-huh. Right, so we all watched the show last night, your show, Josh Must Win. And Owen knows Josh.
No way.
Owen, come in. No, what are the chances of that?
No way.
Yeah. And not only that, come and sit down.
Josh. Because we watched Josh so much on the monitors and because we were filming really long days, like, you know, from 7 in the morning till midnight, we'd be in that room watching him. We think Josh is the most famous person in the world yeah. because we've watched him on the telly every single day for like 70, 90 hours a week or something.
Yeah. So how do you know Josh?
I know Josh because he's a wrestler. So
he is!
Yeah. I live in Oxford and yes. he's wrestled in Oxford. He's Gorgeous Josh.
Oh, that's my God. Nickname. That's his nickname.
Yeah. Oh, so he's always been gorgeous?
He's always been gorgeous.
Right,
yeah.
And there's a wrestling scene in Oxford.
Yeah.
There's a wrestling scene in Oxford.
Yeah. And it's grappling. It's proper wrestling, isn't it?
It's, wrestling, entertainment wrestling. Sort of WWE right, okay. style okay. wrestling. Yeah.
Have you wrestled against him?
I haven't. I wouldn't dare.
No. Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
Not Gorgeous Josh.
So he's small, perfectly formed, but he packs a punch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, never judge a book by its cover.
Oh, that's the essence of the show. It's that about is. The underdog. It's about, you know, not doing that exact thing.
You've interviewed him, haven't you?
I've interviewed him, yeah.
When?
Yeah. This was
as a wrestler?
As a wrestler.
This is mad.
Isn't it great?
So you interviewed him as a famous wrestler?
As a wrestler. Not famous.
Yeah. On the Oxford scene. Yeah.
Local.
But you wouldn't want him to be famous for your show.
No, not too famous.
Yeah. So it was kind of weird yesterday. I walked into the office and there's this little plushie that was delivered with Josh's face on it.
Because wow. Josh Must Win.
Because Josh Must Win.
So Josh has got his own merch now.
He's got his own merch, yeah.
Right, wow. Now, thank you. A round of applause for Owen. Thank you, Owen.
Thank you.
So I'm going to get a bit nerdy now. Please stick with this. I know you've not seen it, everybody listening, but try and stick with this because you know I'm a nerd out on formats.
You love a format.
Of course I do. I love a format.
You love a format.
And Will's in. It's, you know, it's Friday. We've got the vibe going on. So I'm watching this with my telly hat. I'm thinking, I think this is brilliant, which is always the most intriguing sort of point of view for me to have. I think this is brilliant. I think it's brilliant. I'm not sure, but I think it's brilliant. Then I'm thinking, but this could go wrong at any time because it's called Josh Must Win. But there's an eviction almost straight off the bat. Mm-hmm. It could have been Josh. It could have been Josh.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there'd be no jeopardy. What if it was Josh? There's no rest of the series. So I'm thinking, right, is the joke on us? Okay, is everybody in on this? Are some people in on this? Clearly, you and the other co-presenters are in on it. Is Josh an actor? So I go back and I watch Josh again because he has to be so likable, because if he's not likable, we don't want Josh to win. And you can't check that he's likable because you can't put him in a whole reality show first to see how he does. Uh-huh. So there are so many moments of this where this could go wrong. But it can't go wrong because otherwise you wouldn't have a show. Discuss.
It was hell to film because that was what was going through my brain every single second of every single day. And we were sat there like, he could say something crazy
horrible.
Now. He could say something really horrible and it could be totally ruined. And
Josh
everyone
mustn't win.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Josh cannot win.
He cannot win. It wouldn't be right. So we didn't get to meet Josh until he went into the house. We didn't see him before. We you know, the cameras were rolling when we met him in there. So we were like, what if he is like not nice or unlikable or like they've cast the wrong guy? But we did fall in love with Josh. We really, really did. And we were so grateful. But yeah, at any moment it could have gone wrong. And I had the exact same thing. I was like, because we were sort of not tricking, but sort of misleading the contestants, yeah, yeah, right? I was like, hang on a second.
You're pranking them.
Channel 4 are doing this to us.
Yeah, that's what I
right?
thought.
So I was like, these people
are actors. Show within a show within a show within a show.
Yeah. And I was spinning out Vicky Patterson because I sit next to her on the panel. And I was like, Channel 4 tricking us. She's not real. And Vicky was like, what's going yeah, on? And then we were like, we had the exact same thing. We thought it was a show within a show within a show within a show. I didn't know who I was when I left.
So can you tell us, that Josh, is Josh 100%? I mean, we know that Josh is a wrestler.
Yes.
Because Owen knows him.
Yeah.
But we don't know that Josh hasn't been told what's going on.
No, he has no idea what's going on.
100%.
All the way through, 100%. Real life person, not an actor, entered that show as some life experience.
Right, so
I think to get wrestler followers,
yes,
if I'm honest, because yeah, he loves wrestling. So I think he wants to be a wrestler.
Enough.
So he thought, maybe if I go on the telly and then people on, you know, Virgin Radio will talk about me as a wrestler.
Yeah.
So it's worked.
Right, okay. Without taking a sledgehammer to a walnut, mm-hmm, what if the train had come off the rails?
I really don't know.
What would you have done?
I really don't know. And that was the thought all the way through. And I kept thinking, because I had to be outside and talk about Josh must win.
Yeah.
Then when I went in the house, I would talk about the favourite. So, you know, it's like long days on telly. I was like, what if I just say the wrong name? Or
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
what if I go in and like, I'm like, oh my God, it's Josh. Like, it was, yeah, I thought I was going to blow it. You know, the intrusive thoughts
yeah,
start creeping.
Yeah, and the pressure's on you, isn't it? Because you are one of the Fab Four uh-huh, that are, you know, in on the secret, but you're also the host as mm, well. And so the pressure truly was
pressure
on
you. Pressure was on.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because I think...
But I don't know what would have happened if we had just ruined it. Because, you know... The set's there, the cameras are here, there's 50 crew,
yeah,
like what the hell would have gone on?
So it's on Channel 4 and E4 on Monday.
Yes.
So is it on every night? How does it work?
Yeah, it's on. They're doing it like, I think it's 3 nights a week the first week, 3 nights second and then 2 the one after.
Right, so it's...
I don't know.
So
I don't know, but I know it starts Monday at 9.
So it's semi-stripped is what they're
semi-stripped.
Saying. Semi-stripped.
That's
all
the
right
phrase.
It's absolutely fantastic.
I truly can't remember.
Right. I remember
it's on, but
I remember
definitely
seeing
Monday,
the first ever Bake Off series,
yes,
right? And I'm thinking, this is great, but obviously they can't do it again because it's done. And, you know, and anyway, how wrong was I? The most successful mm-hmm show still on UK TV, bigger than X Factor and Mass Singer and Strictly All, you know, All in One.
The News.
And Gladiators. Mm-hmm. The, yeah, it's like the biggest
bigger
show.
The news, yeah.
It's the biggest show, right? It's survived channel changes, judge changes, presenter changes. Mm-hmm. It's just, it is the sort of the mothership of British TV. But I'm thinking, you can't do this one again.
I feel like you can't do it again, can you?
You can't. But then,
you can't do it again.
But
maybe you could in a different way.
But TV channels don't commission one-off series because it's not worth their while.
That is true.
Because you have to build a set and you have to... Uh-huh. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Financially.
We thought this before we did it, where we're like, we can't do this again unless you did it in a different way. Do you know what I mean? You could do it in maybe a dating show version where you manipulate the dating.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If someone was controlling first dates, maybe.
Ryland's done... He's done a similar one to that, though, hasn't
yeah
he? What was his called again?
His was like a bunch
hot
of people
mess
went to
hot
Ibiza.
Mess. You seen Hot Mess?
No, not seen
and
Hot Mess.
They
hot
thought
mess
they
is...
were doing something, but actually ended up having to work
yeah
in
hot
the bar.
Yeah, Hot Mess is... They think they're on one show, but they're on another.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as clever as yours, and I think it's been on. It's pretty Route 1, but people seem to like it.
Hot Mess
they?
Summer.
Hot Mess
hot
Summer.
Hot Mess Summer.
I mean... Love that.
So the underdog again, or the overdog, the in-between dog?
Do you know what we're going to need to do?
Underdog?
We need to have one of our meetings again. Me, you, Will.
Let's do it.
Let's get together. Let's figure this out.
What else are people asking you about it that have seen the show?
Everyone's asking what happens at the end, but I'm like, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, come on,
you
ask
can't
that
watch. It's what people were saying. Like, people are like, so what
what's
happens
in
at the
box
end?
What's I'm in like, the box? Don't open
no,
the box.
That's the whole thing.
Who, what idiots have been asking you that question?
Every single person that I've met.
They,
with.
They all need to not yeah do this for a living anymore. Yeah.
but what does happen?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. No, it is honestly, it was one of the most fun things I've ever done that I've worked on, sorry. And I hope it is as fun to watch because I can't wait to see it. We filmed it last March.
Wow.
So I can't...
That's like a movie schedule.
I know, do you know what I mean? So we did it last March, so I really can't wait to see what's made the cut and what hasn't.
Yeah,
but yeah,
you...
I've seen the first one,
yeah,
and I loved the first one.
So it's a year... That's a long
year ago
leading time mm-hmm for a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
You better get on with it, otherwise it'd be Josh Must Retire.
Do you know what I mean?
So, wow. And you get offered loads of gigs all the time, don't you? You're very lucky you get offered.
Yeah, I'm lucky in things,
so
yeah.
What pushed you... The pitch must have been awesome because it is. I mean,
I love reality show, TV shows, and yep. I like that it was a little bit of a twist. I like that it was a little bit weird. I like that there was the two in one. Right. I love that I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And normally when you enter a TV show, like, you sort of know the boundaries, or you know you can prep by learning the script or your research, and you couldn't do any of that.
Yeah.
So I like that it was sort of a reality show within a show. So we just had to see what happened. So it was, you know, it was quite nice having that nauseating anxiety for 2 full weeks of filming.
So when I recorded my episode of Dish, which I thoroughly enjoyed, you'd already done this.
Yeah.
Kept it quiet, didn't you?
Yeah, we had done it. Yeah. No, but do you know what? I don't keep it quiet as some, like, let me keep it quiet. I forget. I've got something wrong with me.
That's why they hired you.
I forgot I did this.
He won't talk about it. Why? He just doesn't remember anything.
I forgot I did this. I was like, oh my God, Josh Must Win's not been on.
He's never even heard of the BBC, let alone Radio 1.
They ask you who wins, and I can't remember.
I can't remember.
I honestly can't remember.
I actually can't remember.
Yeah.
Hey, we did Dish yesterday, and we were all saying we want you back. You need to come back.
Done.
We did Dish Day yesterday.
Dealt. Who was on yesterday?
Yesterday we had on Marion Keyes. Author, who was fantastic and so fun and brilliant.
By the way, big hitter.
Big hitter. 35 million books. Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. Danny Dyer came on
and Ryan Sampson.
And they were a riot. First guest ever in 5 series that asked for a drink before the show. So we were like, okay, it's going to be fun. And then we had Lily Allen and Makita Oliver. They've done a new podcast together. Wow. So they came on as well. And it was a lot of fun. They basically had a row on the podcast, which is it's going to be good content.
That's funny, because the vibe at Dish isn't inducive to a row.
It was a sisterly fight. You know, they've known each other since they were babies.
Yeah,
so
enough.
I say row.
I say when I talk about Dish, and I talk about it very fondly all the time, you know that, but I also talk about it off the air quite a lot. And they say, what is it about Dish? Because people love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, it's got that magic atmosphere when you go into somewhere, everybody's just funnier than normal. Mm. Everybody's happier than normal. And that's because of the people that make the show.
It's an amazing team.
Real good team, isn't it?
It really is. I love a team. And Marion was saying this yesterday. She's like, I love a gang. So I think there's a bit of a gang mentality. Like in here this morning, I love when people are in.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. Some DJs don't like it, do they? Like, oh, don't look through the glass. Or don't look
What's going on with those guys?
Yeah, it's so weird. I'm like, look at me. Yeah.
I need to imagine I'm talking to one person. Well, that's because only one person listening to go around like this. You need to imagine, mate.
But yeah, it's a fun vibe, and I think food and drink as well, and the fact that it's round a table, we don't wear headphones. I don't think anyone gets in their own head.
Shot really beautifully, so we all know we're going to look half decent.
Yeah, and everyone thinks they're going to look hot as well.
Yeah. Not quite hot, but I'll take lukewarm in my case. Neil in Denmark says, I have never, ever watched a single episode of any reality TV show ever, but listen to you two talk to this, I can't wait to see it.
It's a good twist. Please watch.
No, I think the Truman Show, I never thought about that. That's a great pitch, the Truman Show. Yeah, yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
You were in Tokyo about a minute ago.
I was.
What was crazy. What's going on there?
I was out there for a holiday, and I'd never been, and I also DJ'd while I was out there, which was really fun.
You do slip in your DJ set,
I love a little DJ set.
That's cool.
Yeah, so we went out there, me and Mish went, and our friend Amy, and a few of the friends were out there as well, and I'd never ever been
I
DJed at a hotel opening in Tokyo.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was really, really fun. And you know who played before me and I freaked out? Brand New Heavies.
Wow.
And I loved the Brand New Heavies when I was a kid. Yeah. So I got to meet them. And DJed, and it was so fun. But
what
I did come
trip,
back this
man.
Week and then come straight into promo and work.
So that's the way you're old.
Right?
You know?
Yeah.
That's the deal, isn't it?
I feel crazy for a couple of weeks.
Life is sweet, isn't it, Nick?
Yeah, it's real nice. Yeah,
it's been
really nice.
Good
for
you. What else is going on, Christopher?
What else is going on? I'm doing my podcast with Annie Mac, which is a lot of fun.
Great.
So we get together and discuss the week in music, which is a riot and really, really fun.
What's going on? What's the headlines?
The headlines this week, we were talking about Ray doing her massive gig at the O2, which she did, and she sold out in a day.
She did
20,000 tickets in a day.
Yeah.
And we talked about the way that she commanded the audience in that room. There was a fight broke out. Right. And she was like, guys, not the place. She's like, I don't want to kick anyone out. She's like, it's a bit dead. Stop fighting. Just separate. She just handled it really well.
That's what happened.
So we played that and we talked about that. And we talked about the Glastonbury lineup coming out as well. Yeah.
Because the jury's out still on that, or does it matter?
Well, jury is out. There's loads of people saying, like, oh, I don't know who SZA is. Because SZA's headline. I don't have to say SZA.
Yeah.
But I was like, SZA absolutely should be headlining on that Sunday night. She's the most nominated Grammy artist last year.
Yeah.
She's, you know, sold more records than whoever on the list. She was more streamed than Coldplay and Dua Lipa on the list. So people were like, she shouldn't be on. But when you get into the stats, She should.
I think it was just people.
And she's fantastic
as
well.
By the way, I didn't have this point of view, but I think a lot of people of my age are just saying that because they don't know how to say her name.
Yeah, it's true.
S-Z-A.
And like some, your kitchen scissors.
Some people said seizure.
No, that's wrong.
No, I know.
Yeah, it's
so
not
wrong.
That's not.
It wasn't me. I mean, thank goodness somebody was a bit more wrong than me for us. Like, seizure? Even I didn't
say
that.
No, not seizure.
You absolute idiot. Take away their microphone.
Now I'm going to say seizure forever.
No. Any Adele news?
Any Adele news?
Yeah.
No Adele news.
No, because there was that story. There was a story this week
Adele
about...
news?
Because she's doing the pop-ups, isn't she?
She is. Yes, she's doing the pop-up. She's going to Munich.
Yeah, so she Adele is pop... She's going to appear at pop-up venues, but obviously they're Adele-sized pop-up venues.
Yes.
So she's not playing stadiums or arenas. She's creating these pop-up 10,000-seater venues across Europe.
Yeah, she's going to Munich, and I love the announcement. And we spoke about this with Annie. I loved the announcement, the way that she did it.
So you did have Adele news?
Not this week.
Okay,
but
sorry.
Yes,
sorry.
We did have Adele news. We could. Do you know what? There's certain people that we want to talk about every single week because they've said something funny.
Adele.
Taylor Swift, Adele, Kanye. They've all done something.
Did you do Ed Sheeran in India?
Week. No, we didn't do Ed Sheeran
in
India.
That's a big
story. But I love that. I know. But he was at the wrong end of the sort of the way it worked.
No, you're in Tokyo.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? In Tokyo. Sorry,
you're
Ed.
You're hanging out with brand new heavies.
Do you know what I mean? Sorry, Ed.
You get paid for having a holiday for a lifetime. I remember those days. It's all right, I'm
but yeah, it's a lot of fun, that podcast.
No, it's cool, man. It's great to see you, Nick.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Chris.
What are you doing on Monday, November the 4th, and Tuesday, November the 5th?
Let me see. Bear with us, everybody.
Bear with.
Okay, November the 4th.
This is impressive, isn't it? This is just impressive.
November the 4th. Okay, we have an Annie Mac meeting at 1 o'clock.
All right, so you're free in the morning.
Free in the morning.
Tuesday.
Guy Fawkes night, absolutely nothing.
Would you do me a favour?
Yeah.
Will you host a show for 2 days while I'm in New York?
Yeah.
Do you want to do it?
Yeah, big time.
Actually?
Yeah, big time.
Done deal?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I love doing a bit of business on the radio.
Fourth and fifth, yeah?
Fourth and fifth, Monday and Tuesday, because
Tash
and I run the New York Marathon and I'm not going to be
Wait,
here.
Who's doing New York Marathon?
Me and Tash.
Oh, nice.
I mean, and some other, about 40,000 other people.
Oh, okay, yeah, but don't worry about them.
Yeah, I think we're number 40,001 and 2 and whatever.
Oh my God, big time.
Nick, love to me.
All right, fourth
love
and fifth,
gang,
let's do it.
Love to Angina. Love to the Dish Massive. Love to Annie Mack. You're ace, man.
Wonderful, Chris.
Love
thanks
you.
For having
love
me.
You, love
Thank
you, love
you so much.
The underdog, Josh, must win, but does he? Begins
does
Monday,
he?
25th of March, 9 p.m. on E4 or catch up on Channel 4. It's either going to be massive or you'll never hear it again. Tune in to find out. That's what you want.
It's true. It's what you want.
Go
Real
down
talk.
In flames,
Real
man.
Real talk.
Love music, love interviews with lovely musicians. Search Virgin Radio UK on YouTube to find brilliant album specials with some of the shiniest lights on our playlist, including George Ezra.
It won't be like this forever, so just enjoy it while it's here. It's a really wonderful thing.
And James Bay.
It's about me, it's about my relationship with Lucy. It sums up so much of what went into writing this whole album. We're all works in progress. I still don't necessarily know who I am.
And Depeche Mode's Dave Gahan remembering the late, great Andy Fletcher.
I'll be honest with you, the first thought that came in my head was, I wish I'd been a bit kinder.
Watch all that and more at youtube.com/Virgin Radio UK.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.